Thanks so much for downloading the podcast. Coming up, we run through all the finals machinations heading into the last round of the Home and Away season. Plus, we speak to Geelong star Meg McDonald. Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to Credit to the Girls, episode 9. Ladies, Sarah Fleabag Black, welcome, and Lucy Watkin. Great to have you in.
You tried so hard to get the nickname and you stuffed up the surname.
I know. And it's a really simple surname too. How do you stuff that up? But Luce, did you know that Sarah's dad is actually on board with us calling her Flea?
I have heard that he had to listen to the podcast and really got around it. So I'm into it.
It's so good. Yeah. How are you liking it, Flea?
Well, I've progressed from Bear, which is dad's usual nickname for me. Aww. Sarah, Sarah, Bear.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Sarah, yeah. Bear. I like it.
To Flea. So I don't know what that says.
And now you've just got to get it into the football club where you play and you'll be fine.
Nah, it's pretty much solidified as Blackie, I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
Flea's easier to say than Blackie. It's shorter. We'll work on that. All right, ladies, I cannot believe we are approaching the last round of the home and away season for AFLW 2019. It's just flown by, but let's get your thoughts on round 6, the one just gone, and we'll get your good, bad, ugly and unique. Luce, we'll start with you.
Well, good for me doesn't really have a lot to do with the AFLW, but a little bit. And last night it was announced that the Western Bulldogs men's side are going to be wearing Marvel jumpers in round 1. And I put that down as a good thing because Nat's first thought about the Marvel jumpers last week was I would never ask the men to do it. So at least we've got some kind of equality here.
I know. And now I have to eat my words because they have asked the men to do it. And the Western Bulldogs men's side are going to do it. I do wonder if they're getting a little bit of a cashola for this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised
for the club,
if there's some sort
but
of...
what can I say?
Yeah,
they've exactly. asked the men. I still think it's gross.
It does
personally.
It doesn't look does not look good. And as a Sydney supporter, obviously we're playing them round 1. They've got the red back on the jumper and our whole entire uniform is essentially red. So we must be wearing our white jumper that week, but otherwise it could be a bit of a clash.
The only way it could work is if Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, was wearing that jumper. That's the only way that would work.
Nat, did you bring up Chris Hemsworth just so you can work in your grand final story?
No, but thanks for bringing that up when I met him and interviewed him on the grand final back in 2016, was it?
Yeah,
and Liam too. That was a great day. All right, moving on to your bad Luce.
I was about to say, he's a Western Bulldog supporter.
They are.
So, so it could probably happen.
Yeah, he could be like the mascot for the day, the Thor mascot. Mm. But don't make the men wear it too. Like, just
don't
ridiculous.
Make it. Just won't wear it at all.
Anyway, continue.
And for my bad, we've definitely said this is bad before, but the conferences. I've brought it back because at the start of the season we all said, let's not judge it too soon. It's all going to even itself out. And unfortunately, it has not evened itself out.
Yeah, I mean, I have a real problem with the fact that probably there are 4 teams that are far and away the best teams in the competition. And unfortunately, 2 of them are not going to make finals. That's the one thing that is disappointing about how the conferences have worked out. But if you do look at it on the flip side, we actually have a really exciting round 7 where it's going to come down to the wire. So from that perspective, the conferences may have worked out a little bit better than we thought, but I do think that they probably need to revisit it. And look, and we say this knowing it is so difficult at the start of a season to put 5 teams in each conference and split them, not knowing where improvement or a decline is going to come from. That's a very tough job, and I don't know that we could have done any better, but it is what it is.
Yeah, at the same time, teams change on average by about a third each year. So the squad of 30, there's about 10 players who move on. So that sort of feeds into that you don't know how teams are going to play out. But in a way, we did a little bit. We knew North Melbourne were going to be stronger out of the expansion sides.
Yeah.
We knew Adelaide were going to rebound. Fremantle definitely a surprise packet.
Yep. And I think GWS as well was a surprise to not see them play as well.
Yes.
That is true. Sarah, you're ugly and unique for round 6, please.
So my ugly is a bit of a shout out to a very sore lion in Kate McCarthy. That was one of the worst blood noses I've ever seen on a footy field. It was she was in a lot of pain. She was trying to tackle Jess Hosking and Jess was sort of wriggling around trying to get out and accidentally headbutted Kate, and yeah, resulting blood nose. She came back on the bench with some Voldemort tape.
Yeah, I love that, favorite. The Voldemort tape. Yeah.
And I think she's got a bit of a broken nose there. She's had scans. Poor so thing. We'll see. I'm not sure if we'll see her this weekend. Well, it's potentially could be the last game for the Lions, so she may want to be out there. But yeah, that is my ugly for this week.
And like, shout out to Kate as well, because on her Instagram story yesterday, she had a selfie of herself with a nice black eye and a few stitches on her nose saying, going for a job interview.
Oh, no.
If you were interviewing me, would you give me the job? With a little poll, yes or no.
Poor thing. I'd still give her the job. Yeah.
Am I unique for this week? I'm going to open this up, then throw it over to Lucy. It was the first time we saw an AFLW doubleheader at the same ground last weekend with the Marvel Stadium doubleheader. We had Collingwood North Melbourne, which was quite an interesting match, actually, and then Melbourne and the Dogs, which has been one of the best matches of the season, I think. It was really exciting. I wasn't there myself. I couldn't make it. Lucy were there. What was, like, the changeover between matches like?
The changeover was pretty good. There was a bit of confusion after the Collingwood Kangaroos game, not going to lie, about going into the rooms, but they sorted that out really quickly.
In which rooms they were...
Yeah, they were going back into whether they were Melbourne and Bulldogs were coming out or and they were going in. But it was quick, and I think that was the most important thing, that there wasn't like a two-hour wait between games or, you know, even an hour or so. It was a quick sort of like 30 minutes or so.
Yep.
And the crowd was really good. You could tell there was a lot of Collingwood and North Melbourne people who stuck around for that second game. And
I even spotted some Pies fans in the Melbourne cheer squad.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, heaps of support.
Yeah, yeah, I know. They're sworn enemies.
Yeah. Heaps of support out there. And I think it's definitely sort of the way to go, I think, for the future, is, like, doubling up on games and getting as many people there as possible.
Yeah.
I like it. That's the good, bad, ugly and unique for round six. But let's look ahead to round seven, because this is going to be an absolute cracker of the final round of the home and away season. So many machinations. I know, Sarah, you and I have done a couple of videos on womens.afl and afl.com.au, which you can have a look at for Conference A and Conference B. You've also written an article as well on womens.afl about all the possibilities and who can go where. So do you want to take us through, I guess, a little bit of a rundown on how things could play out?
Yeah, this is complicated. So bear with me. The simple thing is that the Dogs, the Giants and the Magpies cannot make finals.
All right.
So put a permanent marker line through them, they're done.
Okay. So who can?
So Melbourne will have to beat Adelaide in order to have any chance of making finals. It'll come down to percentage after that. It's a really tough ask for the Ds, but it is down in Casey.
Yep.
And Casey's a bit of an odd things happen in Casey. So
it's going to be 29 on Saturday. It's the
probably the
afternoon
best weather
game.
They've had.
Yeah, probably.
They've
probably going to be blowing a gale, as it usually does down at Casey. But that could be interesting. But it has to be a very big margin, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Though Melbourne's percentage is okay at the minute.
Okay.
But in order to get over some of the other sides and to make up the points deficit, they have to beat Adelaide. Adelaide win and they're in. Lose and they're pretty much in as well.
Okay.
They'd have to lose by a considerable margin in order to miss finals. The really interesting match is the Fremantle North Melbourne virtual elimination final.
And so that follows the Adelaide Melbourne game straight after on Saturday night, doesn't it, at Fremantle Oval?
Yeah. Fremantle Oval gives the Dockers a slight edge in this, I think. But the winner of this makes finals, the loser does not. If there's a tie, they both make finals.
Ooh.
If there's a tie and Adelaide loses, that's what it is. They both make finals.
Oh.
Which would be the most chaotic timeline of all.
Oh, my goodness. Imagine if that happened.
Yeah. So basically those team are going to go hell for leather.
Yep.
Because
as you would.
Yep.
And it's interesting because, I mean, for most of the season we've spoken about North Melbourne being the contenders.
That's what I was about to say. It's hard to believe that we've made it to the last round and we're talking about North Melbourne potentially missing the finals.
Mm. Yep. On what would be two losses.
Yep.
In a seven-round season.
Crazy.
So, yep, that'll be some really tough luck there for the Roos. Switching over to Conference B, we're just looking at Carlton, Geelong and Brisbane. Brisbane are playing Collingwood at Victoria Park. They absolutely have to win. That's the only way they can make finals. And it'll come down to percentage then with Geelong and Carlton, depending on how results play out there. Cats and Blues, if they win, they're pretty much they're in. If they lose, they're going to have to pray that other results go their way and that their percentage is healthy enough. So it's fairly straightforward. The Cats are taking on the Giants up in Canberra, and the Blues are playing the Dogs in the Pride match.
Yep.
So the both teams presented their Pride Guernseys yesterday, so check them out online if you haven't seen them. There's some ripper designs there.
Excellent. So that's finals. The basic machinations of how it's all going to play out.
Yeah, simple.
I was about to say basic in inverted commas.
Yeah, I know. So if you didn't get that, go back and read Sarah's article on womens.afl.
Please
for
read
a
it.
Refresher.
I spent
She did.
Hours.
She spent a lot of time on it, and she does very good work, so you should check it out. What I want to get is your tips. So how do you think it's going to look, the top two teams in Conference A and the top teams in Conference B? Luce, your thoughts.
I'm so torn on Conference A.
I know.
It's a real hard one.
But you've got to put Scott Gowans out of your mind.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think Adelaide are just too good.
Yep.
They will definitely finish there.
Yep. Agreed.
And I do think that Freo is going to win on Saturday. My gut,
it's just that home ground advantage.
Yeah, my gut feeling says that Freo is going to win. Because I don't think they're going to come this far and let themselves drop off in such a dire straits game. That's how I feel about Freo. And Conference B, I think we'll see Carlton and Brisbane.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No Cats.
Interesting. Sarah?
I'm going Adelaide and Fremantle for the reasons you said. And I'm going to stick with Carlton and Geelong, which would see four first-time AFLW coaches in the finals.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Which would be a great story.
Yeah.
That's definitely. There you go. Now, you might have to do another yo-yo run at training after your comments riding off North Melbourne, Luce. I'm a bit worried about you.
I'm going to cop it now.
Now, I want to look at the Rising Star because this is one of the great awards, and we've got the W Awards, which will happen soon after the season
ends. Yep, the 2nd of April, the Tuesday after Grand Final.
There you go. Sarah will be there, of course. And last week we spoke about best and fairest for each of the clubs. But what we want to do is the Rising Stars. Who do you think is going to win? And then who do you think comes second and third?
It's a pretty obvious one. Yeah. I think the winner. It's Maddie Presparkis. Yeah. Pretty
Can
much
anyone
it.
Beat her?
I don't think so.
She's not beat her.
Amazing.
Yeah. Not when you're getting averaging 20 disposals a game.
And still copping a tag.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
27 disposals on the weekend.
Yeah.
Is phenomenal
and
for a first-year player.
She's controlling play as well. Yeah. It's not just getting the ball. She's actually having a real influence on matches, which I think gets her over the line. My second and third, Elise Parker's going to poll really well from the Giants. She's played really well in a sort of a tough first season for her. She's had a few knocks but got up every time and really slotted well into a good midfield. And third, I'm going at it on a bit of a limb here, but I think Danielle Ponta might just have the edge and finish third. She's been really classy and just yet another Crows forward who's hitting the scoreboard. There's so many of them.
I know. Yeah. And that's what makes Adelaide so strong at the moment, because goals can come from anywhere. Mm. It's not just one source, and there's such an even spread, and there's so many dangerous forwards. Like Danielle's one of them, but then you've got Stevie Lee. So
Eloise Jones has kicked seven goals.
I know.
I hadn't realised. Yeah. And Aaron Phillips has kicked nine.
Yeah,
so.
Which is just ridiculous, isn't it? Luce, your prediction. So Maddie Presparkis to take out the Rising Star nod. But second and third for you?
Second, like Sarah going out on the limb with Danielle Ponta, I'm going out on the limb and I'm going to say Olivia Purcell. I think she's been really good.
She's had a great season.
She's had a really good season and picked up disposals, but her pressure around the ball has been amazing. She's been getting a million tackles, it seems, for a young player as well. And third, I want to say Sabrina Duffy from Fremantle, because I really enjoyed watching her play, and she's been super dangerous and super creative on the field.
Yeah.
And I think she'll catch some people's eyes.
She's a fun player to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, joining us now on Credit to the Girls is Geelong star Meg McDonald. Meg, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Nat.
It's great to have you on. What we want to know, though, first, and I think a lot of people want to know, do you still have an egg on your head? And I know it's from 2 weeks ago, but it looked like there was still remnants of it on the weekend.
Oh, did I? I hope not. I thought it was gone by the weekend.
Maybe it was just the TV.
Okay, I think I counted maybe, probably getting close to 2 weeks, and I still had some blue around the eyes, but the egg's certainly gone down. Unfortunately, it rhymes with my name. So that hasn't gone down. But.
How much did you have to ice it? Were you icing it, every hour? Because it was so huge.
Yeah, well, I've only recently seen a photo of what it looked like during the fourth quarter, because by the time I looked at it, it had really spread. But no, not too much ice, just a bit of feeling sorry for myself and avoiding mirrors. But thankfully no concussion, so I was happy about that.
That is the main thing.
Yeah, that is certainly the main thing. My face skin.
Now,
no worries.
You've been in the wars a little bit, Meg. You were actually spotted by one of our panel members here at Icon Park on Sunday in a moon boot and on crutches. Are you okay?
Oh, thank you. yeah, I'm fine. Everyone needs to take a load off every now and again. I just put up with a bit of a sore foot after the game. So they thought, it can't hurt just to take some weight off it, but I'll be training tonight and looking forward to GWS.
Yes, okay, good. So you're all good for Friday night?
Yes, all good.
Excellent. We just wanted to check.
Well, you're in the wars and it seems like you bounce back very strongly, Mick, so you'll be fine.
Thank you. I'm confident. I'm going with that. I'll be fine.
But for those who don't know, you played a season at the Dogs in 2017 and now you've reinvented yourself as a defender. What happened in between 2017 and 2019?
Oh, yeah, for those you say that, I think it's like, how did the people not know about those people? More than my greatest. But, I I'd only played about a year and a half of serious footy at that stage. And then, I guess, to cut a two-year story short, I got delisted and I was pretty clear on how I had to, how to get back in. I thought I had to address becoming more of an athlete, in inverted commas, and that, along with just playing a lot more footy, sort of made me feel more confident on field, and I pretty much went straight into the back line. I sort of started in the back line and played a bit forward for AFL and then back to the back line at Darwin and Falcons and worked on it from there, and was disappointed to miss out the second year, but once again, playing with that VFL team and feeling, as I said, sort of growing in confidence, I think has meant that I've been able to translate that once I did get my opportunity.
I mean, one of the things we love about you, Meg, is your ability to intercept Mark. I mean, you just read the play so well. Does that come naturally to you and has it always done, or is that something you really had to work on?
I sort of like seeing the game from that perspective. I wouldn't mind marking a few more of the intercepts on the weekend. I think, in all honesty, I didn't play footy growing up, and I came from a not one of those invasion sports. I sort of played tennis, so everything was in front of me.
Yep.
And not to say that translates, but I certainly don't feel as comfortable. Well, I suppose I haven't tried it, but don't feel as comfortable in that 360-degree space that you might call the midfield. So I'm very happy to be on the last line and have it all coming at me.
Yeah, for sure. Having had a year out of the AFLW system, what do you think's changed in the AFLW from 2017 to 2019?
On field one?
Yeah.
Even as a new team, we're coming in, we're looking, we've had a few big losses to the more established teams and the ones that haven't been as affected by expansion. So those teams have been able to get to know each other and just play a greater volume of games together. I think that's one thing that helps. But then, of course, the girls are becoming more and more dedicated to developing their bodies and their skill sets, I think, off field. I know, for example, I made a point when I watched season two, I thought, you know what, the best players don't fumble ground balls and they can take them on the run.
Yep.
And I was sort of noticing little differences like that, and they're the things that I tried to address in my own game, and I think the competition as a whole is getting better at.
You've been forming a great partnership with Beck Goring and Maddie McMahon in the back line as well. What can you tell us about those two players?
Oh, yeah, I love playing with our whole little back line unit. It's, I call Maddie sis because we have, I've got a sister called Maddie. We both grew up playing, going to North Melbourne. So, they're great. They're local girls, and they've been, I think, they've played in that VFL team together. And I think as a unit, we're becoming slowly trying to, starting to become more and more in sync and know which way we're going to turn and where we're going to be. And I think at the end of the day, those two just, they compete no matter what. And it's awesome to have that sort of trust within a line and within a team.
Now, what was the wash-up from the Dockers match? It was sort of a golden opportunity for you guys to lock up a finals position, and you stuck with them for a half, but what sort of happened in that second half?
I think, well, we did our review last night, and we certainly got smashed in the contested ball in the fourth quarter, so yep. I think that's one factor, and then we, as a back line, so we obviously topped a lot of inside 50s, and you know, under the weight of those sort of numbers, they're eventually score. The Dockers just, as I said earlier, they've now had sort of 3 years together, and they just, I think that they know how to win, and they trust each other, and they trust their decision making at that time, and they, you know, they're willing to use the width of the ground and play that way. So, it's a little bit about us, but they're a very good team. So we'll look at how we can address that in the future and how we're still sort of searching for those four-quarter performances, and unfortunately inconsistency is part of being a new team. So hopefully inconsistency means bad last week, great this week.
Well, that's right. It all comes down to Friday night against the Giants in Canberra. I mean, you guys basically, and I'm sure you know the machinations, you need to win if you are to make the top two in Conference B. Talk me through what the focus is like this week. Is that something you speak about and that you use as motivation, or do you just try and put that out of your mind a little bit so that you don't get, I guess, too carried away?
Yeah, I think the latter. We haven't spoken about it as anything other than round seven. It speaks to where we are as a team. We're a developing team, and we're just chasing some consistent football and trying to get a brand of football that is recognisable and that works for us. We're trying to establish that week to week, sort of quarter to quarter, contest to contest. And I mean, the prospect of finals is, I know Hoodie said it's just a chance to do that again, so to play one more game. So I'll be, no doubt, the finals would be an awesome thing to experience, yep. But more excited by the prospect of playing some good, consistent footy, and the results will go from there.
All right, thanks for that, Meg. Just to finish off, we have a segment with our guests called Quick Hands, which is just some quick questions to find out a little bit more about you. Just the first thing that comes into your head, we'll kick things off with what's your perfect day off?
Oh, boy. coffee was the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
Walk to coffee. The Geelong girls have a go at me for not getting around their coffees. Oh, Melbourne coffee. maybe, and I love a good book and a good film, so that's how I chill.
What are you watching on TV or streaming right now?
I watched Leaving Neverland this week, and I'm probably going to go to Ricky Gervais' new Netflix show next, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Was Leaving Neverland good? I haven't had the chance to catch up, but it's on my list of things to do this week.
Yeah, I think it's almost educational to watch, but striking at the same time. Yeah,
good. All right, I'll definitely have to watch that this
but
week.
But it's long.
It is. It's over two nights, isn't it? So it was two parts.
Yeah, I think it's about 4 hours in total. Yeah.
Okay, so this one's a bit controversial. Pineapple on pizza.
I'm a late in life myth.
Ooh, interesting. Yep.
I think it was Emma Zilke said that she likes to have it on a hamburger. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, get the ring on the hamburger as well.
I like it.
All right, and what's your favourite book? You mentioned you liked reading.
Oh, boy. Maybe Atonement in Helen? Yeah, I'll go with that. Right. I change all the time. We'll go with that.
And finally, are you a cat or a dog person?
And remember who you play
obviously.
For.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I've started to answer less instinctively with that.
Well done, Meg. Thank you so much for joining us on Credit to the Girls podcast. It's been a pleasure having you on, and we wish you all the best on Friday night up against the Giants.
Thanks, girls. Thanks for having me.
Meg McDonald from Geelong joining us there. I like it. She's fun. She's got personality, and she is an incredible player as well, just to boot.
Yeah, probably favourite for their best and fairest at this point of the season, you'd imagine, and All-Australian defender.
Yeah, 100%.
You would think so. Yeah. All righty, let's get on to round seven. three things to watch, and this, I mean, every game is a cracker, really. GWS up against Geelong at UNSW Oval in Canberra, Sarah.
Yeah, so sticking with the Cats here, they absolutely bled the inside 50s, which Meg sort of touched on earlier. They conceded 35 inside 50s for the match against the Dockers. Can't blame all that on the defence. That comes from the middle of the ground a lot of the time, especially with the 5-6-5 rule. You can lose things very quickly from there. So it'll be an area that Geelong look to address against the Giants, who have a very strong midfield regardless of how they've performed this year. The Giants will be coming off a 5-day break plus travel at either end. So
nice.
They played in Adelaide on Sunday. They're going to be playing in Canberra on Friday night. And this was an area of concern for the Giants at the start of the season, let alone by this stage when players are tired.
Yep.
So one to look out for there. The final point from this match is that both sides have shown a bit of a tendency to struggle with that connection between the midfield and the forward line. They've really struggled to hit the ball inside 50 and deliver it cleanly. The Giants showed a bit more form at that last week against Adelaide for the first few quarters. They looked quite dangerous. So I think whichever side has a better connection between their mids and forwards will win this match.
100%. All right. Blockbuster at Casey on Saturday afternoon. I will be there. Melbourne up against Adelaide. Loose.
Yeah, Melbourne against Adelaide, blockbuster at Casey, not something you hear all the time, I have to say.
I am sad that I have to drive to Casey, but anyway.
Don't worry, you didn't have to get up at 5:45 to make it there for a practice game at 7 on Sunday. So,
that's true.
Yeah, don't complain
so
too much.
So many lols.
Yeah, too much. But an interesting thing that I've realised about Melbourne is they spread the load really well across their players. And so they had, on the weekend, 13 players who had 10 or more disposals. There were two teams who only had 6 players who had 10 or more disposals. So they've done a really good job of making sure that they're not relying on Karen Paxman and Aliso Day to do the heavy lifting. And it has means that Karen Paxman and Aliso Day can excel and worry about doing other things rather than just getting the contested ball. And we've seen Karen Paxman hit the scoreboard a few times this year. So I think if they do that against a very tough Adelaide team, they will take them a long way in that game. Something that I've sort of stolen from Sarah here, Adelaide's last quarter pylons. I noticed you tweet that out the other day and then they backed it up on the weekend again.
I was pretty happy with that, actually.
With a 4-goal last quarter. So we've spoken about this. Aaron Phillips, Aloise Jones, Stevie Lee and Danielle Ponta all up forward. And Melbourne have been inaccurate. So if they don't take their chances, then we could see a bit of a blowout in that last quarter. And finally, I just spoke about Melbourne being able to spread the load, and that has a lot to do with the fact that their younger players are stepping up at the moment. Tyler Hanks, unlucky to not get a Rising Star nomination yet this season. You could argue that the last 2 or 3 weeks she was in contention as well, not just this weekend, but she's definitely stepped up, that high draft pick. Eden Zenker kicked an amazing goal on the weekend, and she's been a great target up forward and has done a bit of work in the ruck. And Maddie Guerin as well probably played her best game for Melbourne on the weekend. So that's been a very important aspect for them as well, those young players.
Yep, the young D's stepping up. I like it. Fremantle takes on North Melbourne at Fremantle Oval. This is Saturday night, and again, another blockbuster.
Yeah, match of the round.
Blockbuster
this one.
Fatigue we might have. Mm. Probably not, though, because we like good games.
I've been looking out for this one for weeks now. Mm. I think it was after round 2 when both sides were absolutely flying. Looked down at the fixture and saw they were playing in round 7, and I'm like, oh, that could be a really, really key match. And it turns out it is. Winner takes all with this one. Pretty simple. Both coming off wins, but both have also stumbled in recent weeks against the Crows, believe it or not. It's a common denominator here, is both sides' inability to match it with Adelaide. Point number 2 with this one is that there's 2 incredibly strong midfields who will be going head-to-head. I think Kiara Bowers, we're finally seeing just how special a sort of player she is.
So good too.
For quite a while now, we've heard good things out of WA about, oh, you know, Bowers, she's a gun. It's such a shame we can't see her. None of us had seen her play.
No.
But now we can really see why she's so valuable. Throw in Dana Hooker, Cara Dinellan and Hayley Miller, who will be coming up against Emma Carney, who will be looking to make a point, I think, after she was beaten by Britt Benici, her nemesis, I think, over the last few years. Jenna Bruton played excellently against the Pies. Jamie Stanton and Caitlin Ashmore, two former Lions as well. So there's some real class that'll be running around in the middle of the ground. Point number three for this one is, will Emma King be the match winner? Unfortunately for the Dockers, they've lost Alex Williams to an ACL that was suffered against Geelong. She's there, been their key stopper. Doesn't get much of the ball, but she's a good lockdown defender. It means that Taylor Breslind or Evie Gooch will be the ones probably to pick up King when she floats forward. And I just don't think that they're tall enough. They're physically capable enough to go with King. So she could be the difference in this game if the ball gets down there.
My problem is, how am I going to get home in time to watch Fremantle versus North Melbourne on the TV after the Casey game? Yep. I'm going to have to watch it on delay, which I hate doing. anyway, moving on to Collingwood up against Brisbane at Victoria Park. This one's on Sunday, Sarah, and of course a must win for Brisbane if there's any chance.
Yeah, so then you've stolen my first point.
Sorry.
Brisbane's last chance to make finals. They absolutely have to win this game. It'll be a weird finals series without the Lions. We've seen them up there the last few years. Their round seven performance last year against the Giants showed that they're capable of standing up when, you know, they absolutely have to do it.
Backs against the wall kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly right. So we could see a repeat performance here against the Pies. Saying that, the Pies have been gradually improving week by week. They've now topped their high score 3 weeks running, which has been if you're looking for baby steps in the Pies, they're producing.
Yep.
So Wayne Steegman will be happy with that. It's still not a great high score. It's only 31 points, but it's a far cry from where they were at the start of the season. Final point is, which Brisbane will show up? We've seen so much inconsistency from them, which sort of – they are the youngest side in the competition, one of the youngest sides in the competition, so it goes hand in hand with youth sometimes. Saying that, the kids have been good.
Yeah.
Jackie Austin was the Rising Star nominee this week. Jessie Wardlaw's shown good form in patches. Mackenzie Dowrick doesn't look out of place in the top level at all. The inconsistency has come from some of their senior players.
Yeah.
So if those girls stand up, then I think the Lions should win this comfortably.
Yep.
In three seasons of AFLW, has a team ever gone winless?
No.
So Collingwood could be on for
a bad record.
An unwanted record.
I'm not sure that the Giants in their first season, they definitely drew. Did they win a game?
That's a good question.
They drew with Adelaide in like round three or something.
Yeah.
So potentially it's a record of having lost every single
game. Lost every game, yeah.
All right, the final game for the round, the Western Bulldogs up against Carlton. It's the bottom of Conference A.
Yeah.
And the reigning premiers, and what a disappointing year they've had, up against the Blues, who are fighting for a spot.
Yeah, disappointing for the Western Bulldogs this season. And my first point, I think, relates this a little bit in that Hannah Scott showed how much she can influence a game on the weekend in terms of her ability to rebound from 50. She had 9 rebound 50s, which I'm pretty sure was a record, Sarah? 9 rebound 50s?
No, I'm not sure. Oh, yes, it was. Yep.
So that was a record that Hannah Scott broke over the weekend, and that was really important for their game plan last year when they won the premiership. And she has been exposed a few times this season and was a little bit on Saturday night, just letting leads go without chasing, and she was playing on Courtney Munn when Courtney Munn had her debut for the ages. So if Hannah Scott can rebound 50 like she did on the weekend, I think that will cause Carlton a bit of trouble. Both of the team's forward lines have improved. For the Western Bulldogs, it's been a large part with Izzy Huntington and Brooke Lachlan coming back into the side. But I think the difference here will be the delivery inside 50. The Dogs are 9th in disposals and 9th in disposal efficiency.
Which isn't great from a side that prides itself on controlling the ball with their short kick play.
Yeah, exactly. And their kick to handball ratio is just way off in terms of so many more kicks than handballs, and it sort of says to you, it's a team that feels like they're under pressure.
Yep.
So I think that'll be the difference, and Carlton, with Manny Press-Parker's controlling the midfield, may have the upper hand on that one. But finally, it is the second Pride game in the AFLW, and it's a club-led initiative from these two clubs, and I think it is a very, 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 very good initiative from the two of them, and I think I would love to see it as a Pride round.
I like it.
Nice.
All right, so that is a look at round 7.
Yep. I just had a quick look at the ladder then. That's where you caught me off guard asking about Hannah Scott. Oh. Yeah. The 2017, the Giants did win one game against Melbourne, right, which ultimately cost Melbourne the final spot.
Yeah. That's right. It did too. Yeah. So how could we forget that? So Collingwood.
Collingwood could be winless.
They could be the first winless team in AFLW history, which is not a record I'm sure they want at all. On the socials, and you're speaking about Pride games, so nice segue. Obviously, Bree Davey posting a photo of her and the Pride jumper that Carlton are going to wear this weekend, and it's been designed by Alex Barjada. I think I said that hopefully correctly. But I reckon it just looks so cool, and I'm just totally on board with this Pride game, and I agree with you, Luce, it should be a Pride round. It's incredible, and the Western Bulldogs jumper as well looks stunning too. I love it.
Yeah, and
better
if you haven't
than any marble jumper.
If you haven't seen the Dogs one up close, it actually has the word Pride. That's what the lines are. They're not dots. Oh, it's the letters spelling out Pride over and over again.
That's
so,
with
a nice
rainbow.
Touch.
Yeah, and Katie Brennan, I think, posted a photo of that jumper on her Instagram. So check out both of those girls.
Cool. Mine is taken from the AFL Women's account, actually. It's a highlight clip of Taylor Harris's tackle on Ali Anderson from last round. Harris, of course, coming up against her old side. And Ali's just chipped in here with a simple, at Taylor Harris, thanks. And it's not even full thanks, it's THX. And Taylor said, it's okay. So I think a little bit of fun banter there. I'm pretty sure those two are close friends.
They are, yeah.
So, bit of incentive there for Harris to take down her mate.
I like it.
A good another Taylor Harris one with that tackle is Taylor Harris retweeted someone who had gotten the video of her doing it, but she did it a second time to Kate Lutkins, and I'm pretty sure it's her tackle against Kate Lutkins with WWE commentary over the top.
Nice.
So if you're looking for another laugh, then check that one out. My on the socials is a bit of a cute one, which is Maddie McMahon holding hands with her three kids in a line.
I love that photo. How good is it?
Yeah, they all have the number 24 Cats jumper on their back, and it's just really cute.
They're walking to the car park.
To the car park.
Brilliant photo. And I love it.
Another one to just chuck in there is Melbourne posted today. Daisy brought her babies into the club, so all the girls are getting around the Sylvie and Roy. So, yeah, have a look at Melbourne's social account for that one.
Awesome. All right, thank you, everyone. It's been another Gangbusters episode of Credit to the Girls. We'll be back again to wrap it all up after round 7 of the home and away season, and looking ahead, of course, to finals. You can follow us on Twitter at @CTTG_podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast as well. We love all of our listeners, and we love to hear from you as well. So thank you all for tuning in, and best of luck to your team this weekend. We'll see you next week.
If you're a Melbourne fan, good luck.
Yeah.